Let's read together Acts chapter 13, verses 14 through 52. In this portion of the chapter, we have the continuation of Paul's first missionary journey. And in this stage of the journey, Paul and Barnabas visited Antioch, an important city of the Roman province of Pisidia. Let's begin by reading verses 13 through 41. Acts chapter 13, beginning now at verse 13. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and, motioning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. From this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John was finishing his course, he said, Who do you think I am? I am not he. But behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second Psalm, You are my son, today I have begotten you. And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore he also says in another psalm, You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. Let's begin our study of this portion of Acts 13 with some background notes. In the first section of Acts chapter 13, we had the beginning of Paul's first missionary journey. This would have been in the late 40s AD. Paul and Barnabas and John Mark went out from the church at Antioch of Syria and sailed to Cyprus. After they had gone through the whole island of Cyprus, they sailed to the mainland and stopped at the city of Perga in the Roman province of Pamphylia. It was here that John Mark left the team and went back home. We don't know why he left, and maybe several reasons were involved, including homesickness. In any case, Paul and Barnabas then moved inland over the rough Taurus Mountains and came to Antioch of Pisidia. The fact that Paul targeted Antioch, one of the main cities of Pisidia, emphasizes one of Paul's principles of missionary strategy. And you know the same is true today and is a principle for missionary strategy? Go for the big cities and let the gospel ripple out from there. We see another principle of Paul's missionary strategy in this chapter. Wherever he went, if possible, he started at the local synagogues where he could get a hearing. So Paul didn't waste any time in getting down to important matters at Antioch. He hadn't come to sightsee, but to evangelize. And the first Sabbath day, when the synagogue met, Paul and Barnabas were there. So much for our background notes. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, there should always be an emphasis on Scripture when the gospel is presented. There should always be an emphasis on Scripture when the gospel is presented. In verse 15 we read, "And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." This was typical of the first century synagogue services. First, there was a couple of readings from the scriptures, from both the law and the prophets, and then commentary was made. Even visiting rabbis or teachers were invited to speak. Paul essentially gives a three-part sermon in this synagogue at Antioch of Pisidia. Part one is in verses 16 through 25 and has to do with Israel's history, where God was preparing the nation for the coming of the Messiah. Part two is in verses 16 through 37 and deals with the rejection, crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus, the true Messiah. And part three is the application and appeal and is covered in verses 38 through 41. Notice that in all three parts of Paul's message of the gospel, there is an emphasis on Scripture. In part one, Paul recounts Israel's history based on the historical record of the Old Testament scriptures. The seven nations of verse 19 are found in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. The Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And the Electricites. No, they're not there. Anyway. The 450 years mentioned here, by the way, span the time from the patriarchs to the judges. Notice how Paul stresses the fact that Jesus was in the line of David according to the scriptures and proclaimed by John the Baptist to be the Messiah. In part two of his sermon, Paul quoted scripture from Isaiah and the book of Psalms. In verse 33, he quoted from Psalm 2, a messianic psalm, and applied it to the resurrection of Christ. "You are my son, today I have begotten you." In verse 34, Paul quoted from Isaiah 55, verse 3, "I will give you the sure mercies of David." Clearly, Paul's point was that Jesus, who was in the line of David, was the Messiah. And in verse 35, Paul quoted from Psalm 16, another messianic psalm, "You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption." David, who wrote this psalm, could not be speaking about himself here, because he died and his body did undergo decay. So David must have been prophetically speaking about his greater son and descendant, Jesus. Because as you know, says Paul, Jesus is no longer dead. His body is not undergoing decay. Now in part three of the sermon, salvation is offered to the Jews of Pisidian Antioch. Through Jesus, the true Messiah, they may have forgiveness of sins, something that the law of Moses could never do. Paul again quoted scripture, this time from Habakkuk 1:5, and applied it as a warning to his listeners. "Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you." Verse 41. In other words, Paul says, don't reject this message of the gospel that I am presenting to you. Now, as the Apostle Paul emphasized scripture in his presentation of the gospel to the Jews, so should we when we share the good news of Jesus Christ. Emphasize scripture. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. There should always be an emphasis on scripture when the gospel is presented. Doctrinal point number two, there will always be mixed reactions when the gospel is presented. There will always be mixed reactions when the gospel is presented. Verses 42 through 52. "So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us. I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Notice the mixed reactions to the presentation of the gospel at Antioch of Pisidia. Some folks wanted to hear more on the next Sabbath, verse 42. It would seem that some Jews and some Gentile proselytes actually became believers after this first meeting, verse 43. When the whole city turned out to hear the word of God on the next Sabbath, many of the Jews were jealous, and they began to contradict the truth of the gospel that Paul and Barnabas were presenting, as we see in verse 45. They mixed reactions to the gospel. In fact, they instigated a persecution of Paul and Barnabas by arousing key men and women of the city, and they drove Paul and Barnabas out of the area, verse 50. But we see in verse 48 that many Gentiles rejoiced in the word of the Lord and exercised faith, and thus became part of the elect company of believers. So even though Paul and Barnabas were forced to leave Antioch of Pisidia, we see in verse 49 that the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit, verse 52. So there was a range of responses to the preaching of the gospel. There will always be mixed reactions when the gospel is presented. What about practical application from this portion of Acts chapter 13? Don't force people to accept the gospel. Don't force people to accept the gospel. Accepting the good news of Jesus Christ is a matter of the will. We are not to manipulate people against their will and try to force them to accept the gospel. When the Jews rejected the gospel, Paul and Barnabas turned to the Gentiles. Shaking the dust off their feet was a sign that Antioch was left to the consequences of their rejection of the gospel. Our job is to build relationships with people and earn the right to be heard and present the gospel in terms that the people can understand. We can use persuasion and invitation and techniques of fishermen, but we can't force people to believe because it's a matter of the will and faith. You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Don't force people to accept the gospel.